A brief word of prayer and then I will begin. Lord, the promise from Scripture is that if we open it, if we read it, that your Spirit that you have put inside us, that lives within us, would reveal and uncover truth for us. Truth about God, truth about ourselves, wisdom, knowledge, for how to live life, how to please you. And Lord, we get your insight as we open up Scripture and as we study it. But Lord, we only get that insight when our spirit is alive to you and when the Spirit is inside us that makes it real and relevant. Lord, without that, we would have nothing to say. So I pray for this morning that whoever listens to this, Lord, some new and some fresh insight will be given to them by your Spirit to their spirit. Using, Lord, the word of Scripture. Pray, Lord, that I'll say what needs to be said, no more, no less. Pray for clarity and brevity, Lord, if at all possible. And all of God's people said, Amen. When Andy and I were starting out our Christian journey many, many years ago, this was a great catchphrase, which is true. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. It is true. God loves us. And it is true. Not alone has he a plan for our lives. He has a plan for eternity. But if we're to take that phrase, which is our introduction, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, the obvious question that one needs to ask straight away is simply this. So, what's the plan? And how do I go about finding it? If he loves me and he has a plan, so what's the plan? And how do I go about finding it? So often, down through the years, as I meet people, this will come up in various conversations. I do not know what God would have me do. I do not know what is God's will. I do not know what I'm meant to do next, etc., etc. And that is what we addressed this morning. So what's the plan and how do you go about finding it? And I just have one verse for you. So that's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The title of my little offering is What's the Plan? So Romans 12, chapter 2 says this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the plan is to discover what is God's will as part of the overall plan. So what's the plan? Well, according to that verse, it's all in the mind. If we're going to find out his plan for us, it's going to be revealed to us through the mind, according to this particular verse and the advice the Apostle Paul is giving us. So do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's something going on here with our mind being renewed. Familiar ground to many people. The message puts it this way. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. If we're going to discover God's plan for our life, and that can vary a lot down through the years, then something has to happen with our minds, and certainly there has to be a renewing, because from what it's saying there, we very much think like the culture and we just fit into what's happening for the most part, and apparently that will not work that way for us. The Amplified says it this way. No, if this is helpful or not. It says, do not be conformed to this world. And you say, what does that look like? Which says, don't be conformed to this world any longer with his superficial values and customs. The way the world without God thinks, and we're part of that world often, and the way God thinks is radically different. So if we're going to keep in step with the Lord, the mind has to be renewed. And that's what it seems to be saying. A renewed mind is absolutely essential. So do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. Then it says this, but be and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind. So our thought patterns, how we think, how we assess mentally, all of that, that has to be continually renewed if we're going to understand what is God's plan and what is God's will for us. Since the Lord doesn't think like us, and we all know that, and even when he does speak and we get a hold of things, we realize it's the exact opposite most of the time to what we had thought or to what we had expected. And the reason for that is how our minds work and how the Lord's minds work is radically different. Hence, if we're going to know the plan, something has to be renewed in the mind. So what's the plan? Well, you be transformed by the renewing of the mind. In very simple terms, you have to say, to the Lord, this is how I think, and I'm probably a way off, so I need to be reprogrammed, or I need to at least rethink, but I need your perspective on it. But we know that for most of us, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But all of us know people that we can say there are people out there that are no changing his mind. We've met people like that. They're so minds made up. They have a mindset. And no matter what you do, who you are, there's absolutely no changing that. I think we've all experienced that with different people at different times. You go to somebody and you see that they could desperately do with a different perspective, can't change their minds. And that may be true of people that you have met, and hopefully it's not true of you and me. You see, if there's no change in your mind, if there's no change in my mind, then the inevitable consequences of that is I'm saying no to renewal, and I'm saying no to transformation. If we do not allow, I'm not saying for me you don't allow, but if we don't allow our minds be renewed, then we're saying no to transformation. We can't go any further because our mindset and our outlook is one of the ways that God works, and we live in a world that is completely different to all of that, and that impacts us. So part of the prayer has to be, Lord, help me to think as you would think. Lord, show me where I need to have my thinking and my processes changed. And if you're not seeing change, it may be good to look and just say, Lord, is there something there? Am I stuck here that I can't go any further? That the problem is in the mind. And that hopefully I'm willing to change it. But Lord, I at least need to have it renewed. I think that's part of what he's saying. So what's the plan? The plan is a renewed mind. That's different from information. You can have a load of information and it doesn't necessarily change anything in you. I mean, we hope it would, and that's why we give out so much information. But our thinking certainly needs to be changed. So the plan is a renewed mind. Then you need to ask yourself the questions, what are the benefits of a renewed mind? Well, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the first part of the verse. Then the second half gives us the benefits of a renewed mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That seems to be a very clear promise that is coming through this verse. Incredibly positive. If the mind is renewed, we will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The Amplified says this. What does that look like? Being able to test and approve God's will. We're able to focus on godly values and ethical attitudes. so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good and accessible and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. All that seems to come, what Paul said, definitely does come with a renewed mind. You're able to test, you're able to approve. Say, okay, I've given this a good testing, a good approving. I pretty much know what it is He wants me to do. But often there's a haziness even around that with us, if we're true. Indeed, I'm sure some people, they haven't said anything, but some people would say this. Being there, done that, doesn't work. I've tried to do that. I've tried to renew my mind. I've tried to inform it. I've tried to find out the will of God, etc., etc. Tried to test it. Still don't have a clue. So if that's what you sent me this morning, my answer to you is, being there, done that, it doesn't work. But verse 2 of Romans assumes that we have completed what verse 1 says. And verse 1 simply says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. It is like as if we stand before God, having read up to Romans chapter 12, and having understood the mercy of God, we're saying, Lord, here I am. My mind, my feet, my hands, my resources, my time, everything is yours. To do it as you will. Me in my entirety is there for your availability. Romans 2, verse 2 assumes that we have walked our way through Romans 1. Romans 12, chapter 1. But the difficulty there is, I urge you in view of God's mercy to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. But I think if the truth be known, we will say no if it's inconvenient to us. I got a picture of this. If you take that verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 there, and you're offering your body, that's your whole resources to God, and say, Lord, I'm available to you whenever you want, in whatever manner you want. No, the Lord understands we have work, we all have different commitments, and we all have different times, different gifts, and all of that. So we acknowledge that. But it's the available time we have. Now, in any given year, there are 365 days. You'll all agree with this. I am available to God currently for 363 days of the year. There are only 2 days of where I prefer that He leave me alone. And that's obviously the birthday and Christmas Day. But other than that, I'm pretty much available. No, I don't say that boastfully. But you've heard me talking before about He's come after me for both of those days. Could easily say, Lord, look, there's 363 days that I am pretty much available if you want me. Can you not just leave me alone for those 2 days? See, over those 2 days, there's a sign. And that sign says to God, do not disturb. Because on those days, the will of God is inconvenient. Huh? If He comes after me on those days, I will consider it Him being inconsiderate. So inconvenience, being inconsiderate. And since I have a plan and I have an agenda, I would consider that to be intrusive. I want to know the will of God, His perfect will. I want to be able to approve and I want to test it. But that's verse 2. And in order to get to verse 2, I have to walk my way through verse 1. Some time ago, I did a sermon, a while ago now, based on the song, I Will Follow. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. When you move. I will follow you. But will we do it when it's inconvenient? Will we do it when we have a plan and an agenda, and He's intruding that and we consider at the very least is it being inconsiderate or intrusive. And I do not know, and I'm not asking any of you, I've just been asked about my own sign. I want to ask you about your sign. If we want to know what is the will of God, His perfect and pleasing will. And that will look different for all of us. I acknowledge that. I want to say to you is, in order to get to that, in your sign, do you have a sign that says to God, do not disturb? Because I can tell you now, He will come when it's inconvenient. He will come when you will consider it, gosh almighty, it is inconsiderate. I don't know how many times down through years the Lord called me to pray in the middle of the night. And the first thing I said, Jesus, do you not realize the time it is? Of course He did. As far as I was concerned, I should be sleeping and forgot to wake me up. He was at least being inconsiderate. Mucking up the birthday would be, of course, the category of being intrusive. But as He said to me that time, birthday, who has given you birth? Life has come from Him. So part of it is when we're seeking to know His perfect and His pleasing will, we have to be honest and say, that sign up there that says, do not disturb. When and how long is that there for? What do you consider? And you have to decide for yourself, is out of bounds and is inconvenient, inconsiderate, and intrusive. Because often the problem is not knowing His will. The problem is we're not willing to go through those three things. I will serve if it's convenient. But I'll certainly not do it if it's intrusive and if I have another plan. So what's the plan? Well, Romans 12 verse 2 identifies the problem. In order to know the will of God, we cannot conform to the pattern of this world. There lies the problem. But then the passage, which is incredibly positive, provides the solution for us. We'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then it has this incredible promise that it offers us. It guarantees the outcome. If we conform, if we don't conform anymore and we are renewed, then they guarantee the outcome. The outcome is simply this. Then you and I will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. But that assumes I have already worked my way through the previous verse. That I said, Lord, here I am, lock, stock, and barrel, to do with what you want, when you want, and where you want. Often the reason for the fogginess of not knowing and not having our minds renewed is our minds are already made up anyway, that we're only going to be available on our terms, on our conditions, and nothing else. So thereby we can easily limit what the Lord would have for us, or how He would want to use us, or what He would want to reveal to us. That is what He has given to me for myself and for you. It is automatically assumed that we offer all our resources to the Lord and our availability at any time of His choosing. And with that done, our minds are being transformed and renewed. Then we're able to know what it is that God would have us do, when He would have us done, and how to do it. One example of that, and then I'm finished. Often what happens to us is we are aiming away too high. We're aiming away too high for it, and there lies the problem. Sometimes the Lord will just test you to do something. It could be as simple as turn off the television. Not against watching television. It could be is, I don't want you to read that. I want you to do this instead. Or it could be, He says, I want you to phone such a person. And say, Lord, look, I'm peopled out. I'm tired. Now is not a good time. Etc, etc, etc. And often, that's as far as we get. And that's as far as we get. And we can't get any further. And we're struggling then to know the will of God. But we're even struggling, even submitting our availability to Him, first of all. If we're not available, we'll not even know what His will is. So if you're here this day and you're saying, Lord, I want to know what is next, the Lord will assume that if you want to know that, that you already have presented yourself to him like a blank check and say, Lord, I am yours. Do it as you would will. If you do that, then verse 2 will come to you very handy. And you will know. And I will know too. What's the plan? The plan is a renewed mind. Then you will know. And you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will for you. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You will know it then. And that is the guarantee that is coming from the word of God given by Paul through the Spirit of God to you and to me. My prayer is we would know his will corporately, but also individually. A word of prayer and I'm finished. Lord, we come before you and say, Lord, it is not easy for us to give you control. Lord, even when we give it to you, Lord, we want to be in control of the control. Lord, we have signs up saying, Jesus, do not disturb. And Lord, when you do come in and you do disturb them and you catch us off guard, then Lord, we are shocked with the inconvenience of it or the intrusiveness of it or the inconsideration. That is the truth, Lord. And Lord, while we say we have submitted, Lord, we realize it's easy to say it, but it's much harder to do it. Lord, I have been caught on the hop myself. I'm the first to admit it. But Lord, we are yours. We have been redeemed and purchased with the blood of Christ. We are no longer our own. We belong to you, Jesus. And Lord, inasmuch as we can submit to that, and Lord, we are nowhere near full submission, not I am anyway, or others either. But Lord, in whatever measure we can submit to that, we believe, Lord, that the following verse, we will know your perfect will for us. But Lord, we will not know it otherwise, unless we're willing to submit. So I pray, Lord, for our hearts. I pray for our willingness. Lord, we will not get 100% in either of these things. We acknowledge that, even this day. But I pray, Lord, that we at least we would be willing. For those who want to be willing even, Lord, that you would grant them that grace. For those, Lord, who maybe have come through that, Lord, kicking and screaming, Lord, that you would renew their minds and that you would show them, Lord, what is your good and pleasing will for them. Lord, we ask that because, Lord, we've been through 90 days of this COVID. Lord, you haven't put us through this without wanting to have us rethinking our mind, reshaping it. Lord, we can't even go back to bondage, Lord, in the same way as we left it. Because it's a different world. Even that, Lord, we'll have to start thinking about that. Lord, it will be a new way of doing things because of this virus. But Lord, I do pray that we would be willing. And then, Lord, that you would give us the insight that we need. Lord, we thank you that you're merciful, that you're gracious. And Lord, that, Lord, like in everything else, Lord, if we're only able for junior infants, you're not going to give us, Lord, what would be required of a graduate. So, Lord, at whatever entry level we're at and we got stuck at, I pray, Lord, we'll be able to at least move from that up to the next level. This, Jesus, I pray for the honor of your name and in view of your mercies and your great sacrifice for us, Lord, that we would be willing to do what it is you would have us do in the manner and in the way. So when it's all said and done, we would be able to say, we did the will of God through the power of God and through the praise of God. And all of God's people said, Amen.